And welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon Nissan. I want to welcome you to the second hour of Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. With us in the studio is Paul Gilster, writer of the computer column at the News and Observer and freelance technology writer. And Larry Dial is here with us too. And let's go to the caller who is waiting patiently. Okay, you're back on 850 The Buzz.
The monitor changing colors. My initial reaction was that it was probably a cabling problem too.
Okay.
I know you can't determine just by looking at the cable whether it's bad or not, so I looked at the connection and that seemed to be okay. But the way that I got the problem corrected leaves me to wonder if that's the case. It's happened three or four times in the last 2 months, and the screen, including the sign-on screen when you log on to the DOS portion and it's booting up, goes from black on white to an awful purple color.
Right.
And the only way, once it is done that, the way that I've got it to go back is to call my internet service provider, hook up, get on the internet, and sign back off, and the color pops back.
Did you try to turn the monitor off and back on?
Yeah, that didn't do any good. It would just carry over.
And you jiggled the wires in the back, and it didn't do it?
It didn't change it. The only way that I got it changed back was to
log on and log off,
and then it would pop back.
Okay, in that case, you have some program in there that's actually changing your colors, as far as I'm concerned, because you can change the colors. The purple is a very common situation where one of the pins in the connector is going bad, and you don't get a certain color that helps it become white. So I would still put my bet on a cable, but that when you're saying that just logging on and off fixed it, that's a little bit on the strange side.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. If it is the cable, this is a cable that's hardwired to the monitor.
Right, all of them. That's what I'm saying. It was an easy answer for me, but it's a very hard repair because it's something that you can't have done anywhere. But you're saying that you tried to jiggle the wire and move it to see if that's
and,
what
and it did, yeah, it didn't change. That did not change the color back. What's really strange is it only happens maybe one time a month.
Mm-hmm. What
operating system are you running?
I'm running 3.1.1.
Because I've had problems with application screens turning colors in 95. That has to do with screensavers, but that doesn't...
I am running a screensaver, but I ran it successfully until here recently, and then this is a problem that's just come up in the last couple months.
If it happens just once a month or whatever, I wouldn't worry about it much. I wouldn't even go and try to change settings.
I tried everything to see if it was a monitor problem or if I could change the color scheme in Windows, and that was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't appear, but let me ask you this one last question.
Yeah.
It appears, and it's hard for me to distinguish this, that the entire, now the problem's fixed and the color, I can get colors, the screen still seems to me to have a little purple tint to it, an off-white tint to it. Is that maybe consistent with what you said about a bad pin?
Yeah, I mean, it is consistent. A bad pin, a bad connection can do all kind of different things to happen on the monitor. Also, purple tint to it could be from a surge or lightning strike.
Will
give it, most of the times it's like in a certain place on the screen.
Hmm.
But you said it's all of it. I would, how old is the monitor?
A year and a half.
Hmm. Still under warranty.
No, I think it's a Dell monitor, and I think the warranty is only a year on the.
I'll call them and find out, because many of them are 2 years.
Right.
I wouldn't worry about it much unless it bugs you. The other thing to do is to go and borrow a monitor from somewhere and see if it does the same thing to eliminate the problem of the computer, because it may be also your video card that does something.
No, I switch monitors. The other monitor works fine.
Okay, so it has to do with the... Did you switch it while the colors were bad?
No. Okay. After I got it restored.
You have another monitor at home?
Yes.
Okay, next time when this happens... Don't switch off. Don't call your internet provider. Unplug the monitor. Put the other one on and see if you still get the same thing.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks
for calling 850 The Buzz. Interesting. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz. No, he's not. Now he is.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, am I there?
You're on the air.
Oh, okay, great. I'm sorry. I just had a question. I feel like a putz even asking it. But I recently was using one internet provider and switched to America Online. And the internet provider that I had previously, I was using Microsoft Internet Explorer as my browser.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, now with America Online, I'm using their browser.
Right.
And, I mean, just as a preference, I just feel more comfortable and used to the Internet Explorer. You know, I have everything bookmarked on my browser still. I haven't taken it off my computer. Is there a way that I can change it so that when I go onto America Online that I can change the Internet Explorer as my default browser instead of using theirs?
Oh, yeah, that's doable. I know America Online has arrangements with Microsoft to use Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
There are documents online. You can download it there if you need their version of it, and there are documents that help you set it up. Basically, you're just going to minimize your America Online screen and call up the browser, and it'll come right up and put you on the web. So
really?
I tried
doing that, and it wouldn't...
Well, check some of the documentation online. I know there are several help essays there that tell you about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So okay. So I go in there. I think there's even some of the opening screens now are offering the changeover, and I think there's a help document with that. I would download it from AOL because then you'll get their help document that should provide.
Oh, so I probably won't be able to use the one that's already on my system.
Well, you might be able to after you've read that help document, but if you're going to download it anyway, I would go ahead and use that one. Just install that one over the one you've got. And
okay.
Use the help document they give you there, and that should get you working fine. I know plenty of people who do this. It's not a problem. It is doable.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you almost. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
No, I had a friend who wanted to do that with Prodigy. Didn't want their browser, and it's doable there too. You use the online service as an internet service provider.
Exactly. Exactly. And that can be done. Yeah.
You're listening to 850 The Buzz, Computers 97, and our number is 860-0850. And we're here with Paul Gilster, writer of the computer column at the News and Observer and a freelance technology writer. And stay tuned. Very shortly, we're going to give away Paul's newest book, Digital Literacy. And Larry Dial is here with us, and Larry is going to conduct the contest. It's going to be one of them. Caller number. Yep.
We haven't decided yet.
Yep. Like I said, our number is 860-0850. Paul.
Yes. I'm
what's
here.
What's new on the internet? I mean, I'm on the hardware side, and you know, being an ISP and all that. You're out there looking at it from a different.
Every day, there's so much going on. It becomes impossible to keep up with it all. But you know, a few. Big stories are coming along the last few days. Larry, you and I were talking about this Netscape business.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Where are these guys going? What does this company want to do?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Yeah, it's an interesting story because, you know, Netscape came along. Netscape was the original, they took the original Mosaic, I should say. Most of their development team was the group at NCSA, mm-hmm. National Center for Supercomputing Applications in Illinois. They built Mosaic, and when they went private, they developed Netscape out of that. And theoretically, that made them browser makers, and that was their market. Then later, we saw them decide, well, hey, you know, we don't need that browser. That doesn't matter to us. Now we're a corporate intranet company. That was because Microsoft started giving away Internet Explorer for free. And now suddenly this new initiative, they're saying, well, now we're going to put 100 million copies of Netscape on the home desktop. And I'm saying, what? Now you're competing again with Internet mm-hmm. Explorer, and I don't get it. We've got Communicator, which is their suite, and I had this theory that somebody at Netscape thinks that Communicator is going to grow into the equivalent of an office suite.
Please don't.
If you look at it, you know, look at it, you've got word processing, you've got email, you've got news groups. This is a bad trend, guys. My view is that this bloated stuff, which, by the way, Netscape has always accused Microsoft of bloatware, and now you look at Communicator, and it's top-heavy, it's slow, and I took it off my disk and was very happy to find that they released this new version of Netscape's light version. It's the browser. That's what we started with. Remember that? Back in the old days, we had that browser. Now it's back. Although you were saying, everything so well, does it?
No, Ron was downloading it in order to test some things on our system. He uses Unix, but he fired up 95, dual booted, went to 95, and he downloaded it. And I said, "What are you downloading?" He said, "It's the new one, whatever, you know." Yeah. But it's still 6 meg.
No, actually, it's 7.5 meg. Right. I did it this morning.
For Unix.
For Unix.
No, wait a second. I'm sorry. No. It was for 95. So maybe it's
7.5 meg expands the 9
on. The thing what Netscape said is that this one, the way that they reduced it is there's no email program in it. So the first thing after you brought it up, I said, you know what, let's see if it does any email. Click here on our webpage where it says contact the webmaster. Clicked on it, and it just sat there.
Right.
It didn't do it. So now, I mean, they went even worse than what it used to be. You can't even give feedback to anybody. What are you supposed to do?
This is a good question. I noticed if you look at Communicator, too, there are some things on there that are grayed out on the menus that you look in their help file, and it says sort your bookmarks, click the ascending or the descending sort, then none of those work.
That's
just something we have to get fixed. So this is a very curious story. I think there must be a lot of controversy going on up at the top in this company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are we going to deal with Microsoft? Well, how do we deal with this new Internet Explorer that's coming, which is the ultimate bloated browser that takes over the whole desktop?
The whole desktop, yeah.
And it's a trend that I hate to see. You know, the bigger these things get, the slower they get. And the Internet's slow enough already.
Absolutely.
I'm with Paul again. I think that I have, you know me, I'm on the bleeding edge, as they say.
Here's the Band-Aid.
That's right. But I downloaded Internet Explorer 4.0, put it on, and it's not only bloated, it takes over your computer.
Oh, yeah.
To an extent that is really, really undesirable as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And then you can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's worse. It's like it really envelops you in, and it makes you want to go back. I had to format a hard drive.
Well, you know, I try to use both these guys because I'm trying to evaluate them. And,
right.
You know, you install one and it tries to destroy the other one.
That's exactly right.
And this is very difficult to get them all running at the same time. And I finally did, but, you know, you have to keep clicking on the
default browser.
Do you want this to be your default browser? You know, hell no. You know, this kind of thing.
Let's see what the caller here has to say about this. Good morning, you on 850 The Buzz.
Right. Is there a software program out there, a drawing CAD type program that I don't have to spend $400 for to make basic diagrams and drawings of things like arbors and pergolas and basically outdoor garden structure type stuff?
There are a lot of CAD programs that are specific. I mean, you don't... They cost anywhere from 100 to 4 or 5. CAD programs historically are expensive. I thought you were going to say, you know, can't I get in a CAD program that doesn't cost 3,000? You know, that's more like it.
No, I don't need all these sophisticated electrical diagrams and business flow charts and all that. I need some basic construction things, and I tried a 3D home architect, and that doesn't work for what I need.
My best advice will be to go down to Egghead or Best Buys or anywhere where they sell software and take a look and read about it. It's I don't know, any of you guys using CAD programs?
I use Visio, which I've used for a long time. But
you like Visio?
The learning curve is hard.
Is it? I haven't worked.
But I've used both the standard and now the professional. Again, it's not cheap. It's I think the original is 120 or 130.
Is this what you're looking for? Something?
I need basically something that I can do construction plans with, and a lot of these things don't have that capability.
Yeah. Now, Vizio has some of it. If you go down to Egghead, I know they have several editions of Vizio because there's a basic and then there's add-ins for specific industries. Mm-hmm. So that might be a way to
Did
go
Did you go
for
to
it.
Egghead yet?
Yeah, I wasn't really shopping the last time I was there, so I wasn't shopping for a CAD, so I glanced at them, but I didn't.
Yeah. Go, take a look there, and take a look also. I guess there's some other stores around town that carry software.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Speaking of stores, isn't CompUSA coming to Raleigh? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, that's the story. Yeah, well, they're talking about that Circuit City site on 70. Yeah.
Oh, because they moved out of there.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning, Amnon, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, I enjoy y'all's show as usual. I just was hearing the last caller, and I got a program. I've had AutoCAD for a long time, and it's a huge, as you know. But I got one for myself from Intuit, the people that make TurboTax.
Right.
And in a mailing from them, I got
TurboCAD
for $39 or $49. I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, for that price, I'm just going to try it. And it does import AutoCAD, you know, DWG extensions.
And does it do what the caller was looking, construction?
I think so. It might not have anything geared to the garden frames that he's talking about, but it certainly, I couldn't believe that it does, you know.
It does. $40.
Not over 40. It might be 30, $29.
Wow.
They have specials now and then. But
TurboCAD.
TurboCAD, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I guess you have to get it from, you know, what's the...
I think Egghead has that. I mean,
really?
They might, or you can get it from the Intuit website or something. Just
great.
Download it.
Y'all keep up the good work.
Thanks for calling, Dan. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Okay, and our number is 860-0850. Paul, We were talking about what's happening to Netscape and to
internet
browsers
internet
taking
stuff.
Over. The one of the worst problems that I see as an ISP is people that coming from and it doesn't need really to be a browser here. If you have AOL and you're trying to go to a local ISP, many times the what was that on the Richter scale?
it was AOL to an ISP. We were attacked.
You try to install the new networking information, and they have a dial-up AOL, dial-up adapter AOL. I mean, why? 95 has a dial-up adapter in it. It's generic. It's standard. It can serve everybody.
Yeah,
why do you
too.
Have to have one of yours and... And that, I mean, fine, have one of yours. But it interferes with others. And a lot of people on the phone don't tell you that's what's there. And you try and, what is going on? Why can't I set him up? Mm-hmm. And you find out, I said, oh, well, go ahead and delete that. And then everything works.
I mean,
it's almost like, they're trying to give you trouble for leaving him. I had a customer call yesterday, wants to switch to us from Netcom. He said, it was so easy I said, well, what started your Netcom? He said, it was so easy to subscribe. He said, but now I'm trying to stop it. They have my credit card. I don't know how to get in touch with them. I leave messages. I try to send the email, voicemail. Nobody gets in touch with me back.
Of course, you know how hard it is to get off AOL if you want to resign from that.
I don't know.
It is an incredible experience.
That's ridiculous.
Hours and hours of the holding time on the phone if you're unlucky. Some people are unlucky, and I get a lot of complaints about that. People don't like that.
But they shouldn't be like that.
They're making it proprietary. They're making it difficult because they want your business. But this notion is that somehow this is going to bring customer loyalty? Not likely.
No.
People get mad.
No. Right. That's what I told the guy once. I mean, he finally did get it resolved, I think. And I said, you see, now if you ever get dissatisfied with us, all you have to do is call and I'll probably answer your phone. And all you have to say, please cancel. And it's done. And this is what a lot of people don't know about the local, working with a local ISP, you always get that type of service.
Well, I think the point is that people don't know the components you need to get onto the net. And an ISP is one, and that's an internet service provider.
Let's bring that topic up when we come back. To get back to another commercial. Coming up next on 850 The Buzz are your calls. So leave it right here. We'll be right back.
850 The
And welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. We'll go right to a caller that's been waiting patiently. Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning, how are you?
Fine.
How are you doing, Gene? Oh, pretty good. I think the whole problem with the internet is, and with the browsers are, they're all, everyone's trying to make money off the internet, and they're not sure how to do it. They've become so bloated with items that you don't need, and they're not efficient. If you look at the newsgroup reader on the Netscape, it's terrible. If you look at their mail service, it's terrible.
Amen.
Yeah, the Eudora Lite is so much better. And NewsWatcher and other news group readers are so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I think people get confused and they don't know how to use them. And the idea to give us this giant bloated animal sounds appealing. And then when I see it on sale in the newspaper for $49.95, I don't know who's buying these.
There are people who do, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, because they don't know any other way to get them.
Yeah, that's probably true. And you know what happened to Netscape when it did bundle everything in the communicator and set up all these work group programs bundled in? Pretty soon you have people like IBM saying, wait a minute, this is competing with us. We're not going to play ball with you anymore.
Yeah.
It was bad business strategy and bad for the end user, in my judgment.
The other monster or cyclops, especially on Mac programs, is push technology.
Mm-hmm.
Pointcast is like a giant virus spreading through the universe. And I don't know why people like that.
You know, it's interesting. You have to ask what additional value you really get from push technology at this stage of the game. Netscape has this new Netcaster out, and I've been evaluating that. I'm not sure what it's really delivering other than, sure, it can come in and update a site automatically. But on the other hand, how many sites that I value wouldn't I just go out and check now and then myself?
Oh, you're right. Like when I want my basketball scores, I go to ESPN.
Sure.
You mean you don't use the Pointcast?
No. It took me a long time to eradicate it.
No, Gene, you're right. I had the same experience. I put it on and I couldn't get it off. And what am I getting out of this?
It's fun for the first couple of hours, and then you say, wait a minute, this is not really delivering anything. But
right.
At this pace, it takes up.
No, Gene's right. I get the basketball scores or the football scores off of where I want to go when I want to go there.
Yeah. The other thing is bookmarks. Do bookmarks automatically group themselves?
No.
I don't know why bookmarks aren't grouped alphabetically.
Well, now, this is something where Internet Explorer is better, I think, than Netscape.
Yeah.
Now, if you use them both, you'll find Netscape will simply drop your bookmark in into the folder that you select, and you have to then move it around. The sorting isn't there yet. As I remember, Internet Explorer will alphabetize them.
It gives you the choice of which folder you drop in, and then it also allows you to create a folder if you come across a new area you
want
to
place. But it places it in the folder.
It places in each of the four.
Yeah. Alphabetize?
I think it does.
I'm not sure about that.
I can see a downside to that.
I can too.
Well, it's almost like Netscape is waiting for a computer to be invented.
I'm glad you said that. That would get me a lot of mail.
The other thing is, at the beginning, how many books did we all buy on how to do this and how to do that?
Well, I hope you bought some of mine, I tell you. I know where you're going, and you're right.
I'm not so sure how valuable they were. I got to page six.
Wow.
We made another comment about it before. I bought Kai's Photo Soap. What a marvelous, marvelous program. But the learning curve is astronomical. Kai must think you're going to use that every day for 3 hours.
Mm. Well, Anlin always has made the point that you only get good at something if you use it all the time. And these applications, I think you're right. Something like the Microsoft applications, Excel or PowerPoint, you got to use them every day to get good at them.
Yeah.
And Kai is exactly that way. You're right. It's a big, powerful program.
I have screwed up a lot of photos.
Yeah. All right, Gene.
Have a good one.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. You're listening to 850 The Buzz. Okay, at this time, I want to ask everybody not to call anymore with questions for about 5 minutes. What we're going to do now is we're going to give away Paul's new book, Digital Literacy. And Paul decided he's going to go for caller number 7. And Larry is going to conduct the contest here. So be caller number 7 to, again, please, no questions because you're not going to get a chance to answer. So 860-0850. 860-0850. Okay. And just...
Okay,
he is going for it, and Larry's learning how to do that. That's great. So, yeah, Larry, that's the next one. That's the next one. That's it. Okay. When did this book actually come out?
It was in spring. Came out the spring.
It came out this last spring.
Yeah.
Gestra has hit the mark. The ability to evaluate critically what is found on the internet is one of the most important faculties for successful internauts. Critical thinking is the ultimate V-chip. V-chip.
V-chip.
Oh. Okay.
And we hope we're only V-chip.
Those of you who called, we already have the 7th caller, so you can go ahead and hang up, and questions can come back. I mean, I see all the lights are lit up. We already have the 7th caller. We gave it away, and that's it. Thank you, Larry. You did it. You did it. Okay. So that's always a part of the show that I sort of like looking forward to see all those lights lit up.
Oh, it's terrific. I mean, it happens in a heartbeat.
Okay. So I assume that the two that are dialing. Oh, what? There's one still that's ringing out there. That it is a question. So let's go for it. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz. Nope.
By the way, our winner, if we want to...
Hang up.
Do you want to announce the winner?
Sure.
His name is Larry Call, and he was calling number 7.
He's from?
K-A-L-L, from Raleigh.
Good.
And he's going to come down here this week and pick up the copy at...
Sure. Larry, you need to show up. I'm sure Larry told you.
At the Buzz.
At the Buzz, and the receptionist, Patty, will give you the book.
Mr. Gilchrist is going to sign it to you, and it'll be terrific.
We'll do it.
Okay, good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning. I think you all probably accidentally hung up on me just a minute ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, we were giving away a book.
I did it.
Amnon did. It's his fault.
Hey, I've got a couple of things I wanted to go on. One of them, I've got a little problem. I just got up this morning and turned on my computer.
Uh-huh.
And, industry problems. Problem. Windows encountered an error accessing the system, and then it says restore from backup.
Right.
Restart.
Oh, you did it.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do in a situation like that?
You do it, and then you just go for it again, and just click on it and see if it'll fix it.
I've done that. And I've restarted it, and it doesn't do it. So I assume that I have to go to some kind of backup. Do you need to put it in your backup disk or
there? What you don't do you have a backup of your registry? No, I don't think so.
Well,
you
probably
do.
Not.
Yeah, you do on your files on your hard drive. You've got them on.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to put. No, he was asking if he puts in the backup.
But what he needs to do is to copy those files to a floppy. You know, if he calls Pete, he'll give.
Yeah, but I mean, I always said that again is once you change something, those files are worthless because you're going to copy him, and now suddenly it's really...
You may be right, but I think that Microsoft has provided every time you start up successfully, it writes to a file.
Right.
Now, the last time this gentleman started up, it wrote his registry to a file that's on his hard drive.
Right, and you can copy...
You can copy that and then reinstall that.
Okay,
that's what he needs to do.
I thought you meant copy to a floppy from the hard drive, the good copy. Okay, yeah. But I think that's what this... wasn't that what this window now says?
Yeah, I think so.
Wasn't it supposed to do it for you? We're not sure about what you should do right now. We're discussing it here.
But I think if he calls Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete knows the name of that file. I know. Yeah, and if I had a book with me, I could look it up. But it's there somewhere.
Yeah. And also, you might consider.
I've got a couple of books, and I looked in the back for troubleshooting and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing on it that says what you should do with it.
Practical experience is much better. Let's see what
I was just going to say. Once that file is restored, you might want to check the Microsoft site on the web. They do have some utilities for cleaning up your registry. Right. Well, it could be that there's some extraneous stuff in there. You could get it restored and up and running, but then run through some of these utility programs to really clean it up and get out any old references and so on and keep it healthy.
You think something like Nuts and Bolts would help it?
Well, I know there's a what's that program Microsoft puts out? RegClean.
That's a pretty good program. It's free.
It's free. It's on Microsoft website.
It's called RegClean.
RegClean. One word. It will go in there and find anything that shouldn't be there and clean it up for you. That'll keep your registry healthy. I try to run that every now and then, just because the registry really does get filled up with junk.
Yeah.
I can operate the computer and use it.
Did you try to?
In right now.
Did you click? What is it waiting for? What is the button? Okay? Or
no, it's just waiting for a button that says down there at the bottom, says restore from backup and restart.
Yeah, see, so that's what it is. If you click on it, it's supposed to. Did you do that already?
Yeah, I've done it several times.
And it keeps coming up.
Yeah, you have to restart your computer, and then when you restart it, everything works fine, and then it comes back on. And, of course, you can use your computer.
Uh-huh.
I can get on the net or do anything with it. It just got that little boxer.
Yeah, that's and you know what? And you know what? This is another thing. It may be nothing.
Yeah.
No. Let's.
It is something.
It may be nothing serious, but the message. I mean, Windows is not that smart to tell you what it is. So they have a generic, bang, error message. Yeah. You know, registry scares you to death. But like you're saying, you can use it. Do you see anything different? Different when you're using it?
No.
Okay.
It goes to the background, and you never see it until you turn everything else off.
Yeah, so it may just be something like Paul says, something, some dirt get in there or whatever. And
yeah, but really, RegClean will fix that up, I suspect. It'll clean up your registry. I think you'll find that message will disappear if you use it. I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got one other thing. I'm getting ready to upgrade, and I've since increased my hard drive size. I put in a 3.1 Western Digital in my unit, and I'm thinking of upgrading from my 75 megahertz Pentium to something like a 200 because I've got a Microtech E6 Pro that's got the scanner with the Photoshop 4, and of course using Photoshop 4 with a 75 just doesn't quite cut it.
Before you go on, I just want to make one thing sure before we get into it. This is your computer, not your wife's. Correct?
This is a very personal question he's asking.
Okay.
We had a problem with somebody who was trying to speed up their wife's, the computer that their wife was working on.
No.
Got in trouble. Okay, so now we can go on.
My wife's not,
go ahead.
Not on this.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm getting ready to... I'm seriously thinking about upgrading, and I'm probably going to go with a K6 or a one of those
beautiful
M2s. And of course, you can't find any information yet about the M2s, and even though they've been out for about a month and a half. And my question is, should I go ahead and get if I get a new board and a new chip, should I just go ahead and get a new case with the
what kind of case do you have? Is it a mini tower?
It's a mini tower.
How old?
It's about 2.5 years old.
Nah, I wouldn't bother. Yeah.
But you know, if you take everything off, you've got to take everything out of the box to get to the, to get to the board. I'm just wondering, would it be cheaper just to go ahead and get the new box with the power supply?
Well, a new box is about $50-$60. So yeah. I don't know. It's up to your budget, but you don't have to do that.
Uh-huh.
That's what's nice about the standard. Pieces, the standard case and the standard this and standard that, is that all you have to do is replace the motherboard chip, and you don't even have to replace your memory. You probably have the memory of 72 pin. So, yeah.
And one other thing too, should I consider, since I'm got a SCSI, since I'm using a SCSI with my scanner, and I'm getting ready to get a CDR or an RW, one of the two. Should I just go ahead and maybe consider getting a board that's got the SCSI built into it, or No. Go ahead and get an Adaptec.
I would say stay with standard. It gives you the opportunity. I mean, the ones that are built on the board are Adaptec, from what I know.
Uh-huh.
But still, it gives you a chance to upgrade when the time comes if you want to get a better board, and you can stick it in there. I'm just not a believer of things like that being on the motherboard.
Putting all your eggs in one basket?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to add, since we went through this personally this week, mm-hmm. was on the K6 chips.
Yes.
I'm real happy with the 200. Very fast, quick, works on boards. The 233, we had a problem with a very good board that we got for it. So you might consider that. I mean, make sure that the board that you get, if you're going to buy a K6 233, is factory ready for that chip.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's with voltage as well as other settings, because we had a real problem and we couldn't and it had to be the incompatibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that the 200 chip is about half the cost of what.
Right.
The
Necro was just going.
And it is a great chip. I mean, I'm real happy with it.
Okay. I wish I could find some more info on that 686 MX.
If you give me a call later on at the Internet Center. I'll give you some more information, because actually maybe next week we'll have Kevin from
it's also on the web out there.
Yeah, and it is on the web.
Hey, listen, I like your 2-hour program now.
Thank you. Call the station and let them know.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Bye-bye. All right. And we need to go away for another commercial. Leave your dial right where it is. Your calls are coming up next right here on 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850. And with us in the studio is Paul Gilster, writer of the computer column at The News and Observer and a freelance technology writer. We just gave away Paul's latest book, Digital Literacy. It's available, I guess, in stores.
Oh, yeah. Barnes & Noble, Borders, all those.
I want to read something. We were talking in the commercial. I just want to take a... this blows...
This will wake everybody up.
This will wake everybody up. And, Paul, don't worry. He is not going to get this chip. Don't worry about a thing now. Life after Pentium. The new chip, now being designed jointly by Intel and Hewlett-Packard, will have 20 to 50 million transistors.
Now, that's as opposed to how many?
Compared to 7 million on the most recent Pentium 2.
They're waking up now.
A basic clock speed of about 1,000 megahertz. More than twice the performance of today's fastest chip.
When's Uzi getting one of these? I need it.
And a 64-bit microprocessor. Codename MERST. The chip is set for release within 2 years. However, there will be a little software optimized for the MERST when it's introduced.
Little software optimized.
And existing DOS and Windows programs will run more slowly on the new chip than on some existing Pentium
chips.
That's
what got me, that final sentence.
It's probably going to be written just for the... But, I mean, I love that, you know, you put DOS and 1,000 megahertz in the same sentence, you know. DOS and 1,000 megahertz.
We were doing something when we put DOS to 640K. We're really on edge.
It's hot. That's right.
The chip designer not associated with Intel HP says they are sitting on the most successful computer architecture in history. I'd milked the current Pentium architecture for about 25 years. There's no reason to change anything. Well, interesting. 1,000 mega. I mean, I tell you why I don't want to carry those. Because I have all these people coming and saying, why can't you set the LED on the front of the computer to say 1,000? You know?
You know, what you bring up? Go ahead, take the
let's
call.
Let's take that call and... well?
Are they there?
Yep. Hung up.
One of the things that brings up, and Paul...
Call back. I hung up on you. Yeah.
Paul's talking about standards. You know, he was at a Java conference, and Java was the language, the computer language for programmers that was supposed to be cross-platform.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
In a big way.
Right.
Yeah.
That was Sun's, who developed the program.
You know, we had so much hype about that. I got this thing here. I was noticing some of the quotes about it. George Gilder, the guru, the computer guru, made the statement that Java would shift the balance of power in the computer industry, and he talked about a tsunami of application. You know, tsunami is a tidal wave. You know, so we get this notion that there's this vast change coming that's going to bring down Bill Gates and so on, which has its pleasing aspects.
Yeah, there's certain appeal.
Certain appeal,
especially this last week.
But, you know, you start looking at this today. This is 2 years after Java's appeared. It's out there in about 1% of all web pages.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not seeing the kind of spread. You ask people how come, and you're hearing things like, well, you know, it doesn't do as much as we wanted it to, and it's slow. We're having problems with that.
Let me say one thing about this before we go to that phone call. A couple of years ago, I had my cousin from Canada on the show, and Ray writes operating systems for mainframes. And I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he is doing everything that he develops now in Java. And I said, when did you start? I mean, and show you the ignorance on my side. I said, when did you start getting into the web? He said, you don't understand.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the web, with the internet. I'm using it as our language to develop, and it is much better than C.
Now, see, there's where it really does work.
You're right.
Because there it is a very interesting language, and it takes a lot of the problems of C++ and really extends into new areas here very nicely. But now, is it going to be the big thing? Are we all going to log on to the net and download all our WordPress over
stuff? I don't think so.
Corel gave up on their suite. Did you see that?
And I tried to play with that when they had the word processor up on Corel.
Right.
Oh, was it tedious?
Oh, it was. And it was a Java-based
let's see
suite.
Good morning. You on 850 The Buzz?
Oh, I am not. You were talking about AOL a little while ago. I just thought I'd call you with some information.
Go ahead.
I got a CD with a magazine recently, and along with a lot of junk, there was an AOL offer.
Right.
And instead of the usual 50 free hours, 720 hours free.
Good God.
Divided by 24.
Except
the fine print says you must use it within 30 days of initial login. You do a little math, that comes out to 24 hours a day.
That's right, for the month.
Exactly. Talk
that's
about clogging the system.
I hadn't heard that one. That's amazing. These cases, it's up to
720 hours. Just thought I'd pass it on.
That's
thanks
amazing
for calling 850 The Buzz.
I worked for some marketing departments who would have come up with that.
I guess you could use it in shifts if you had a family, right?
It's a good thing they didn't put 741 hours there. Right. You have to use all of it within 1 month, or you'll have to pay. Jeez.
I mean, interesting. You know, back to the standards, because it really is a very fascinating discussion that, you know, programmers, which is what I do, and I write in Visual Basic, would like to see something simpler and more powerful and cross-platform.
Sure.
But there's so much invested in applications and software out there that unless it and you're really playing with a client's money and their business if you start playing around with the languages you write their programs in.
Yeah,
so you have to be real careful with this stuff. And you know, Paul knows better than most that this is just very, very dangerous.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. If you load something brand new up and it doesn't quite deliver as specified, you're in trouble. You're the consultant on this job. So, you know, it could be this is going to have a great future. But right now, this whole notion was for a while that Java means it doesn't matter what kind of computer you run. Turns out there are more incompatibilities than we thought getting this thing to work. There was a study done here. I've got it somewhere here. Looking at applications, they found only 60% of them were working as advertised, cross-platform, which was one of the big things. And the new Java consortium, they're out there funding Java stuff, and they funded 10 new companies to do Java work. Turns out none of those companies are using Java as their main language in-house. So what does this tell you? I mean, we're a ways away from Java. It's been a religious thing for a while with a lot of people, but it may take more time than we thought to develop this.
Yeah, I find a lot of times with people who argue for Java are arguing for open standards, but what they really mean are my standards, not Bill Gates' standards or someone else's. And
besides, if I want to have a word processor, I want it on my machine. Mm-hmm. I don't want it somewhere on a server somewhere.
I agree.
And, you know, I mean, that means that, I mean, there's so many things that come to play here. That means you have to be connected to the net when you want to use your word processor. That means that you have to spend money on that. Plus, you're going to be paying per usage of that software. That was the original idea.
Well, you know,
that's ridiculous.
It is, I think, for the home user. I think you're exactly right. Maybe in some corporate settings where you've got big networks and you
if you have 1,000, you know.
And you want some central administration that really works.
But don't they do that anyway with the LAN?
They do.
Client server does that right now.
But I could see a future there for this NetPC idea, given some tweaking.
You do?
But I don't see it in the home. I can see it in the corporate environment. But I don't see us logging on and downloading our major stuff this way. It doesn't seem like a model that's going to fly.
Besides, the drive makers will kill it. What are they going to do? I mean, they are going to bigger and bigger drives. Suddenly you're going to say, well, all I need is an 80 meg drive. You know?
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah. What about the full one I just bought?
Oh, no. I just bought one of those, too.
Oh, they're wonderful. But I just,
there's a lot of things that are going into there, and people are still... It's amazing how many people are still afraid to be connected to the net while doing their work.
Well, I think there's a couple of
People think that if you are on the net and you're writing a letter on with your word processor, somebody can come in and steal it right there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and until this intimidation goes away, nothing is going to happen with stuff like this coming across unless it's in intranets.
Where you get a firewall.
You gotta use this.
Well,
no, I mean, hey, you work for me, and I said, this is the way you're going to use it.
That's right.
Tough.
Yeah, there is a market there, but the other issue that comes up constantly is the speed in an intranet. And though Java says it's going to make this faster, there's no proof out there yet. I mean, I know clients who have... Clients still need an application on their computer to run properly. And then you can pull data, and that's the only way you're going to make these things work fast enough.
You know, the alternative here, rather than this net thing which has no drive in it, is simply what they're calling, what is it, a network PC is the jargon, which basically turns out to be nothing but a normal PC just kind of stripped down.
Smaller version, that's right.
Yeah, that's fine with me. You put out a $600 machine with disk drive and all the work.
Exactly.
But now you haven't changed the paradigm. You're still back in the normal days of computing with local storage. I think that's where we're going.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean...
That's what I found very successful.
Yeah.
I need to start winding down here. Gosh, we need 3 hours.
We need 3 hours now. We're having so much fun.
This is just not working out. How did we do it in 1 hour?
I don't know.
I know.
We were frustrated.
Anyway, you're listening to 850 The Buzz, and this is the come to the end of our second 2 hour show.
But you need to say goodbye to some people. You have a new daughter. I have Nikki to say goodbye to, and his mommy, and the people at EPM, and my two.
Your two.
How about that? You guys are really.
And he's got two now. We both got exchange students in the last couple weeks. And,
good for you. That's great.
I was telling the story last week on the air real quick here. You know, we got real audio connection to radio stations in her hometown in Spain.
It's terrific.
I love it.
I love it, too.
Paul Gilster was with us. Paul, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Larry, I appreciate it. Great fun.
It was fun. It was a pleasure having you.
Get Paul's book, Digital Literacy, and, of course, the columns at the News and Observer. I know a lot of people.
Every Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah, Tuesday. That's it.
And that's it for today. Thank you for tuning in to 850 The Buzz and to Computers 97, and as usual, practice self-computing. Back up your hard drive. Don't forget to use that virus scanner. And we'll be back here next Saturday at 8. Until then, keep your dial right here on 850 The Buzz.